morning. We're going to be looking at light, something that's necessary for our direction and our discourse through darkness. Light is very important, too, for decision-making, along with the direction of our lives. Making decisions in the dark, or decisions in the dark, can end in some regrettable consequences, can't they? Have you made any decisions in the dark? Well, let me share one with you. Back in the days of before electricity, there was a tight-fisted old farmer here in Pennsylvania. He was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern at the farmer's expense when he called on his best girlfriend. Why, the farmer explained to his hired hand, he says, when I was a courtin', I never carried one of those things. I always went in the dark. Quickly, the hand said, yes, but look what you got. Making decisions in the dark can be very, very costly, and they can have real serious consequences. Not just in courting, but in conduct and in our character. Take out your outline if you haven't already. That's good. The Christian and God's kingdom values, light. Here in Matthew chapter 5, as we've been looking at last, we looked at the salt that we are, salt of the earth, that we are to be salty Christians. Here we're to be lights. You are the light of the world, Jesus Christ says to his disciples then and to his disciples today. There in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, you are the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Father, guide us as we get into your word. Lord, we know that it's alive and powerful. Lord, may it just enliven our hearts, our lives, Father. Enlighten our hearts and our minds with your truth, with your word. And Lord Jesus, as you are the light of the world, you're also the light of our lives, for you are our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd. And Lord, we pray that we would indeed let your light shine in our lives, before our family, before our friends, where we work and where we live, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. As we pointed out last week, where it says, you are the salt of the earth, here is the same construction where he says, you are the light of the world. You, the emphasis, you and you only. Not just anybody, but you as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very emphatic and very clearly emphasized by the Lord who is to be the light of the world. And he says, you are already that light in Christ Jesus. He's talking to his disciples, remember. He's not just talking to a vast multitude of unbelievers, but he's speaking specifically. The Sermon on the Mount was specifically given to his disciples. Now, certainly others heard. Just like in any assembly, in any given church, you have a mixed multitude. But this is strictly for his disciples, the light of the world. It's meaning the definite light that you are. Well, how do you become that light? I ask people, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And, oh, yeah, I've known him since I was a baby. Well, what do you mean by that? Maybe you've heard that too. Maybe you've even said that because you happen by grace of God, you've been raised in a Christian home. You become that light in Christ Jesus when you're born again. Not that first birth, but the second birth. Take a look, if you will, in your outline before you. Becoming that light of the world. We need to look at that in Scripture first before we understand what it means to be that light. Becoming that light. In fact, Paul says that God says in his word, let light shine out of darkness. And that's exactly what has done in the lives of the believers, if you will. Why is there darkness? Well, there's a moral darkness, there's a cultural darkness. That's why this message, this Sermon on the Mount, was so important to the disciples, because they were living in a world filled with darkness, just as you and I are. Moral and spiritual darkness. That darkness began there at the fall when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And darkness came into their hearts and also death. As you see in your outline before you, sin has brought death along with the moral and spiritual darkness in the world. In one sense, the Bible is really a story about death. Death and darkness. In one sense. But in a greater sense, and praise God for it, it's also about victory. The victory that light has over death and darkness. And that victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the light of the world. And we only reflect that light as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it begins with understanding that you and I live in a world of darkness, and we were darkness. In fact, that's the way Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 5. You were darkness. He didn't say you lived in darkness. He's talking to the heart, the soul, the very life essence of men and women and boys and girls that are separated from God because of sin. And the consequence of sin is death. The consequence of sin is darkness. And so we need to become that light as we come to the light, Jesus Christ. Coming to the true light. As you see there, in the very prologue of the Gospel of John, John clearly defines who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's the living Word. He was with God right from the very beginning. And he's also called the light. He's the life and light of this world. And it says, in him was life. Take a look there at John 14, verses 1 through 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. That darkness that we're talking about, sin that brings darkness, brings death. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why? Because light is far more powerful than darkness.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
I sure am. I was darkness. That's exactly what God says. Until I came to the light, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave the victory of salvation, as he does to anyone who repents of their sins and turns from darkness to light. Until we come into the true light, that's Jesus Christ. It's not Allah of the Islam, if you will, of the Muslims. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not all the various saints that the Roman Catholic Church reveres. It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Take a look at what John says also in John's Gospel, John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 you have there. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, Jesus Christ. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. That's where you and I were without Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? You're agreeing with what God has assessed in his examination, his diagnosis of the sinner. Let's go on. For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, unless his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, comes to Jesus, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. Coming to the light is coming to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But it doesn't just stop there. It's coming to Jesus Christ for coming out of the darkness and into the light of his presence, into the light of his life and salvation. But there's also that of following him, isn't there? It's not just, you know, raising your hand. Oh, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Whether at a Good News Club, a Sunday school class, a small group, or a worship service. Yes, it's a commitment to Jesus Christ, but it's also following and walking with him in the light. In the light. Where once we were in the darkness, and praise God, now we are in the light, and we follow him, and we walk with him. That's why it's so important. Becoming the light of the world is coming to Jesus, but also walking with him, following him. For with you is a fountain of light, it says in the Psalms. In your light we see light. And again in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The same one who says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the very shepherd that David was speaking about in Psalm 23. And I'm the shepherd that gives you life and light. And you will follow me if you've come to me as my Savior for salvation. It was a well-known leading actor who was honored at a banquet. And after the dinner ceremonies were over, the actor was asked if he would recite for the pleasure of his guests. He consented. And then he asked if there was anything special that they would like to hear him recite. And there was a moment's pause. And then an old gentleman was sitting in the back there at the banquet, spoke up. He says, could you, sir? Could you recite Psalm 23? A strange look came upon the actor's face. But he was speechless for only a moment. He says, I can, sir. And I will be, and I will, on one condition. And that is that after I've recited Psalm 23, excuse me, you, my friend, will do the same. Excuse me. This will slow me down. My wife reminds me that sometimes, because of the interest of time, I try to rush through. Forgive me. I shouldn't do that. So, he says, I can, sir, and I will, on one condition, that is that after I've recited it, you, my friend, will do the same. I, asked the old gentleman, but I'm not an elocutionist, I'm not a public speaker. However, if you will, if you wish, I will do it. Impressively, the great orator and actor began Psalm 23, holding his audience spellbound. And as he finished, a great burst of applause broke out throughout the hall, the banquet hall. After the applause had ceased, the old gentleman arose. The audience sat in silence. The psalm was recited. And when it was done, there was not the slightest ripple of applause. But those in the audience, whose eyes were yet dry, had their heads bowed. The great actor, with hand on the shoulder of that old gentleman, said, with his voice trembling, he exclaimed, I reach your ears, I reach your eyes, my friends, but this man, he reached your hearts. You see, I know Psalm 23, but this man knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? You see, in order to be the light, we have to first come to the light. And come to the light in faith, believing in Jesus Christ alone and his finished work and who he is. Having that grace gift of salvation. And then following him and walking with him. As Jesus says, as he is the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they what? They follow me. And we follow him in the light, no longer in darkness. We continue on. Being the light of the world, let your light shine before others, the Lord was teaching and saying to us today. Fellowshipping with Jesus and with one another is part of that being the light of the world. Take a look, if you will, at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him, meaning from Christ, and we proclaim to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, notice this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, it's becoming the light through faith in Jesus Christ, and really reflecting the light of his light within us. And then being the light of the world that you and I are to be in Christ Jesus. We are that light because of Jesus. But it means also that we fellowship with Jesus and we fellowship with one another. God's word is absolutely clear. You can't be a solitary Christian. If you think that, then you're wrong. If you think that, then you're opposing God's will. If you think that, you're disobeying God's commands. You cannot be a solitary Christian. You may feel that way, say, if you're the only Christian in your marriage and in your home, but you're not alone. That's why we need brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And that's exactly what God's word says here. If you are in the light, and the light of Jesus is in you, we have fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. And then some extraordinary things happen. We encourage and build one another up, but also we have that cleansing power of the blood of Christ working in our lives individually, but also working collectively in the body of Christ. Because in his light we see sin in all of its darkness, in all of its violence, for what it is, in our own hearts. And we say, yes, Lord, it's sin. I confess it. Lord, cleanse me. We pray for one another for that cleansing as well, don't we? So it's fellowshipping with Jesus and with one another. It's also walking as a child of light. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5 there. Therefore, do not associate with them. He's talking about those who are still in the darkness. Now, by association, he doesn't not mean contrary to what the Lord says, we are in the world but not of the world. Yes, we are in the world. The Lord wants us as salt and light to be where people can taste and see that the Lord is good. And they can see the light of Jesus Christ, so they can see that there's an answer, there's a solution to the problem of darkness and death in their life. And that answer, that solution is Jesus Christ and Him alone. But here, associate, the word here is the idea that you're assimilating it back in with them again. That you're doing the same things that they are doing, that we used to do before. Do you find that tug now and then? You know? We call it peer pressure, but it's something else what he's saying here. And that assimilation, that association, again, back in the darkness. But God wants us to be connected with them for one reason, that they would see the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? I thank the Lord that it made sense to a lot of people in my life when I came to know Jesus Christ. Just like a lot of people in our lives that need to know Jesus Christ too. To walk as children of light. Therefore, do not associate with them, for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what pleases the Lord. The psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. Do you find that? Because see, by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, having the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Christ with the Holy Spirit, He guides us and gives us understanding of the Word of God. So indeed, the Word of God truly becomes a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway, as we follow Jesus day by day. You see, being in the light and walking in the light is being in Christ and walking with Him daily. Would you agree with that? Amen. Walk worthy of the Lord. Take a look again at Colossians, the verse you have before us, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. As you and I are walking as children of light, our focus, our goal, our motivation is that you and I would walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of His gospel, walking in the light. It's not that we match ourselves with somebody else and say, you know, I'm not quite as good as John is. No. We walk in the light, we walk with the Lord, and we seek and endeavor to walk worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy. Walking by the Holy Spirit's enabling power and guidance. Because we have to ask ourselves, how is this possible? That you and I can walk a different walk now. Not just talk a different talk, but walk in the light, see us in the light. How can we do that? If you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to be pulled back into the darkness. You're going to be pulled down by this world. But if you do it in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit within us, you can say like Paul, in Christ I can do all things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We know what those desires are. And they may be different in each one of our lives, but we know what they are, don't we? And we walk by the Spirit, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Story is told about a man who worked for the railroad. His job, and his only job, was to do, because the bridge was in disrepair, that the trains would have to go over. And what he would do, his responsibility was to take a lamp out there and warn the oncoming trains to slow down, slow down. You can go across the bridge, but slow down. What happened? train went too fast over the bridge. Scores of people were killed. Because that was his responsibility to hold the lamp. Slow down. Slow down, there's danger. He went before the judge. They were trying to ascertain where did the fault, where did the responsibility lie? And the judge asked him, he said, were you on duty then, the night that this accident, terrible accident happened? Yes, I was, Your Honor. The judge asked, now did you go out with your lamp to warn the train? Yes, I did, Your Honor. And did you swing the lantern? Did you swing the lantern so they could see it? So they would understand that they had to slow down because there was danger ahead. Yes, I did, Your Honor. I held the lantern there and I swung it back and forth. He was exonerated of the great responsibility of those lives that were lost. He went home with his friend. His friend says, wow, aren't you glad that you got off? That you weren't found guilty? He says, yes, I am. But I'm also glad that the judge never asked me, did I light the lantern? You and I are to be the light of the world. And that light in your life is Jesus Christ. That light in my life is Jesus Christ. And every day we come before people, we are in contact with people, that in the journey, in the course of their life, there's danger ahead, there's judgment ahead. Hell is ahead. And you and I is the light. Slow down, there's danger. But there's a solution, and that is Jesus Christ. Giving glory to the Father. Giving glory to the Father. Take a look, if you will, at that verse. It says, they may see your good works and give glory to the Father. He didn't say that our good works. But you know, even though it doesn't have to be said, I think we should say it. Our good works in Christ Jesus will bring glory to the Father. There's no doubt about it. The Lord isn't looking at that perspective. He's looking at those who see the light of the good works in your life because of Christ in your life. The good works in our lives because of Jesus. That they who see that light, the light of good works, will give glory to the Father. But we all understand that when you and I are walking the path of righteousness, that we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in fellowship with one another, we bring glory to the Father. Would you agree with that? That's exactly what God says. And so even though it doesn't have to be said, it's good to be reminded too that perspective is extremely important. What you do and what I do brings glory to the Father or does not bring glory to Him. So we give glory to our Father through Jesus Christ by being the salt and by being the light in Him. By, if you see in your outline before you, by bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in your life, in my life, in the life of the church brings glory to the Father. He sees the Son in the life of the church. He sees the Son in the life of the believer. And He is glorified. He is delighted to see His Son reflected in your life and my life. We bring glory to the Father in bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the gospel. He is also glorified in your life, in the life of the church, Southbound Bible Church, by being filled with the fruits of righteousness through Christ. Take a look at the verse before you, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. You see, the fruit of the Spirit dealing with our character, the fruits of righteousness dealing with our conduct, what we do, what we decide to do, what we say, what we don't say, and what we don't do because of Jesus Christ. Both character and conduct in the believer's life that reflect Jesus Christ bring glory to the Father in heaven. But also, take a look here at 2 Corinthians. How else do we as believers, as being the light in Jesus Christ, also bring glory to the Father? By being generous to those in need. Take a look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying to the needs of the saints, and Paul was commending the believers in Corinth, that they were gathering some of what God has entrusted to them to help meet the needs of the believers in Jerusalem, in Judea. But is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God, notice this, because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and what? The generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So we glorify God by fruit, by bearing fruit, by bearing, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, and by being generous. And there's many other ways too. But he does say here in this passage, he does say here in Matthew chapter 5, they, those who see the light of Jesus in your life, through the works, the good works that God has ordained for you to do, whatever those works are, maybe it's being generous, maybe it's sharing the gospel, maybe it's helping out, maybe it's encouraging, maybe it's praying with that person, or maybe it's just doing some random act, if you will, of kindness to them. Whatever it may be, but you're doing it because of Jesus Christ. They will see your good works, and they will glorify the Father in heaven. How does that work out? Well, let me share with you three possible ways that that will work out. Here in your outline before us. First of all, they will acknowledge, because they see the light of Jesus and the works that you are doing, they will acknowledge that there is a God and that he is among his people. We see this in Isaiah, where God tells his people through the prophet Isaiah that there's going to be coming a time when Israel will be the light that it should have been. And all the nations will gather there in Jerusalem and Judea. And they will say, there is a God, and he is the one true God, and there is no other God besides him. It doesn't say that they all believe, but they will all acknowledge that there is a God. So one of the things that they will glorify the Father is because of your light in Jesus Christ, because of what you are doing because of Jesus Christ, they will say, yes, there is a God. Because I knew him before, and he wasn't like that before. He wasn't generous. He was tight-fisted. He wasn't giving. He was grasping. He could have cared less for me. But now I see something different in him. I see something different in her. I have hope, because now I know, because of the witness of their life, their light, there is a God. You know, children are being taught in school, as well as in colleges and universities, even to the point of a negative declaration, there is no God. Think of that. Think of that the next time you and I are involved with people and showing the light and the life of Jesus Christ. When those who see and that work splashes grace into them, if you will, and they say, yes, there is a God. I have hope. There is a God who cares. Another way that they will give glory to God, some will be saved. Some will be saved. They will not only acknowledge that there is a God, but they'll come to know the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and come to know God as their Heavenly Father. For what we proclaim to ourselves is not to ourselves, rather, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. He's doing that every day. He's doing that every day. We're going to be hearing from Larry Buckman how God is bringing forth light and darkness in South America. But he's also doing it in China. He's doing it in all the countries. But we need to see the bigger picture, that your light has an effect. Your light, the light of Jesus Christ in your life, has an influence, has an impact. It really does. And some will be saved. Some will be saved. Another thing. It will affect those who see the transformation that only Christ can bring. A newsman, Clarence W. Hall, followed the American troops, the armed forces, through Okinawa in 1945. He and his Jeep driver, a driver that was assigned to him for his protection and also for his transportation, came upon a small village that stood out as totally different from the other villages in Japan, in Okinawa, rather. And it was a beautiful example of a Christian community. He wrote, "We have seen other Okinawa villages down in the hills despairing. By contrast, this one shone like a diamond in a dung heap. Everywhere we were greeted with smiles. Proudly, the old men showed us their spotless homes, their terraced fields, their storehouses and granaries, their prized sugar mill. Hall said that he saw no jails, no drunkenness, and that divorce was unknown in this village. And he was told that an American missionary had come there 30 years earlier. And while he was in the village, he had led two elderly townspeople to Christ and left with them a Japanese Bible. These new believers in Christ studied the word, and they started leading others to follow Christ as their Savior. Hall's Jeep driver said that he was amazed at the difference between this village and all the other villages they went to. And then he remarked, listen to this. So this is what comes out of only a Bible and a couple of old guys who wanted to live like Jesus. Yes, that's what comes. Being the light in this world. On the day of visitation, take a look if you will, and they will glorify the Father for the good works through Christ. It seems that Peter picks up this teaching from Christ, and he quotes almost it by word for word. We haven't quoted, we haven't there in your outline before you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see what? Your good deeds or good works, and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now he adds that. What in the world is the day of visitation? Well, day of visitation is seen only in two ways throughout Scripture. The day of visitation is a day of deliverance and salvation for Israel. We see that in the Old Testament. We also see it in the New Testament when the day of visitation came to Lydia when she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the day of visitation when it came, if you will, to the Philippian jailer, and he and his household came to know Jesus Christ. So the day of visitation, that phrase can be used and is used in Scripture for, if you will, deliverance and salvation. But you know, there's another way that the day of visitation is also used. Not for salvation, not for deliverance, but for judgment and damnation. You see what Peter is saying, exactly what Christ is teaching, that when you and I are the light of the world in Jesus Christ, that others will see our good works in Christ Jesus and glorify the Father in heaven. Peter says, there may be in their life a day of visitation, salvation, and deliverance. But there will also be, if they don't come to Christ, a day of visitation of judgment. You know, when you think of it that way too, you say, and I thought too, well, how in the world, when people face judgment and damnation for an eternity, how will they bring glory to the Father in heaven? How will they? On that day, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. On that day, God's grace and mercy right now that is being poured out upon all, unsaved and saved alike, that mercy and grace will be vindicated. On that day, there will be those who say, I saw the light, but I rejected the light. And by very witness and confession of that, will bring glory to the Father in heaven. It's not that God delights in the suffering of the unsaved. He doesn't. But God has to judge sin. He has to. And he did in his Son, Jesus Christ. When he who knew no sin became sin for you and I and for the whole world, that those who believe him would become the righteous of God in him. Yes. God wants us to shine. Shine for Jesus. Today, tomorrow, throughout the week, this year, next year. Because your life, as salt, as light, will have an impact on your loved ones, on your neighbor, on the people that you work with. Guaranteed. And they will see your good works done for Christ's sake and glorify the Father in heaven.